My accidental husband is a billionaire. Chapter 821. Monbatten froze at Amy's words. Her old mom. What did she mean? Was there a before and after version of Amy's mother? No matter how much a person changes, their eyes don't. He was certain of that. But not wanting to kill the mood, he smiled and nodded. All right, sure. Amy's eyes lit up. Then come to my house sometime. My mom's picture is there. I didn't bring it with me. Okay, he replied with a chuckle, ruffling her hair. Amy looked up at him, all serious. So, when are you coming? Monbatten hesitated, clearing his throat. Well, I heard those uncles and aunties talking earlier, Amy said with the precociousness only kids can have. They said Daddy is super busy. Do you even have time to come to my house? I'll make time, Monbatten said immediately. When? Amy pressed, unwavering. He glanced over at his aide, who promptly stepped forward. Your Majesty, you're free the evening after tomorrow, at 8. Monbatten smiled and looked back at Amy. You heard that, didn't you? The evening after tomorrow, 8 o'clock, I'll come to your house. Yay! Amy cheered, stretching out her tiny pinky. Pinky promise. No take backs. Monbatten blinked but couldn't help laughing. There was something about this kid that put him completely at ease, even when she crossed boundaries that should have annoyed him. As he bent down to lock pinkies with her, he found himself wondering, was that woman from Creera as remarkable as this child? Did she give someone else a kid as delightful as Amy? After sealing the promise, Amy dashed off, wrapping herself around Uncle Olsen's leg like a koala. Grandpa, Grandpa. Daddy said he's coming to our house the day after tomorrow. Uncle Olsen raised a brow, unimpressed by the theatrics. Most businessmen would have been overwhelmed in a moment like this. Nervous about hosting royalty. But Uncle Olsen wasn't most businessmen. He calmly looked down at Amy. Did you prepare an invitation for King Monbatten? Amy shook her head, wide-eyed. Uncle Olsen sighed, carrying her over to Monbatten. Though Monbatten was used to a life of luxury, something about Uncle Olsen's presence compelled him to stand as the older man approached. Despite the age gap, Uncle Olsen carried the gravitas of a father figure, commanding respect effortlessly. King Monbatten, a pleasure to meet you, Uncle Olsen said as they shook hands. The pleasure is mine, Mr. Olsen, Monbatten replied, gesturing for him to sit. As Uncle Olsen eased into his seat, he spoke in a measured tone. I've heard that Country A has been having issues with pirates lately. The comment drew a sigh from Monbatten. The Trident Strait, which separated Country A from Creera, was notorious for its pirate activity. Ships often avoided it altogether, taking longer, costlier routes. Years ago, Kira and Lewis had ventured into Country A to rescue a prominent scientist. As part of their strategy, they had lured enemy forces to the main port, leaving the pirate-controlled strait as the only viable escape route. In the end, the scientist returned safely through those treacherous waters. Thanks to Lewis's assurance that the area was under the control of a friend. Now, Uncle Olsen leaned back, smiling faintly. If King Monbatten is willing to grant my daughter a few favors, that strait could be freely accessible to your nation's ships. Monbatten's eyes widened. You control the Trident Strait. For years, Country A had tried to negotiate with the mysterious faction, controlling the area, hoping for reduced fees or some form of partnership. Yet, every overture had been ignored. Monbatten never imagined the person holding the reins would casually bring it up in conversation. "I'd be more than happy to oblige," Monbatten said eagerly. "Consider it done. Your daughter and her associates are welcome to do business in Country A. Anytime, Uncle." Olson nodded, then added, "What about the individual they're worried about?" Monbatten chuckled lightly. "That individual has never explicitly forbidden Jenkins from returning." Uncle Olson raised a brow but didn't press further, leaving the information to be relayed. When Jenkins heard the news, her jaw dropped. "Wait, what? That clownfish told me to leave. She said if I didn't, she'd blow up my company. And now you're telling me I was never actually banned?" Erin cleared her throat awkwardly. "Well, you know how he operates. Impulsive and unpredictable. Maybe when she told you to leave, it was just that leave for a bit. She never said you couldn't come back." Jenkins looked dumbfounded. "What kind of logic is that? Did she ever explicitly say you couldn't return?" Erin asked. "No, she didn't," Jenkins admitted. Her voice cracked as she exclaimed, "So what have I been doing these past few years, wandering around Creero like a vagabond? What was the point of all that?" 822 Chapter 821. Jenkins was utterly defeated. She ignored everyone and retreated straight to her tiny room at the Olson estate. Despite her cover as lion being blown, she wasn't treated any differently. Still, the accommodations didn't match the comfort Erin enjoyed in Charles's room, especially since Charles had voluntarily moved into the guest room for her. Jenkins sprawled on her bed, torn between crying and screaming. So clownfish had driven her away just to flex some control? As long as she left, everything was fine, and returning was perfectly okay. For years, she had longed to see her friends in Countria but didn't dare visit, fearing she'd endanger them. Now, after everything, it turned out she'd been overthinking it. She clenched her fists in frustration. Clownfish was maddening. Infuriating. Grabbing her pillow, she pummeled it as if it were Clownfish's face. The occasional muffled yells from her room echoed faintly into the hall. Nov. L. B. /JNN. In the living room, Erin glanced at Kira, who was working on her laptop. "Should we, I don't know, try to console her? She sounds pretty crushed." Kira didn't even look up. "Why bother? Peter's already standing outside her door." Erin raised a brow. "But he hasn't gone in." "Well, duh. Anyone who tries right now is asking for trouble. Didn't you see the murderous look in her eyes earlier?" Kira smirked. Erin chuckled mischievously, though sympathy flickered across her face. She cracked open a bag of pistachios. "Honestly, if I were her, I'd lose it too. Clownfish hasn't changed a bit since we were kids, always messing with people for fun." Kira paused her typing. "What does Clownfish even look like these days?" "No idea. We were 3 years old. How's anyone supposed to know how they'd turn out? People change a lot." Kira conceded the point, though her curiosity only deepened. She wanted as much information as possible about Clownfish. Her current position was a direct threat to Kira's plans. Reliable intel placed Clownfish in Clans. "What about when you were kids?" Kira pressed. "Anything odd about her behavior?" Erin shrugged. "We didn't know each other's families back then, but I remember Clownfish's parents being kind of eccentric. Clownfish hated going home. And yeah, she was a weird kid, kept to herself, never joined in during nap time, playtime, or even group baths. She'd just sit alone. Oh, and she had a thing for bugs. Used to bring all kinds of creepy crawlies to school. Once, she put a rat in Kira's backpack. Aaron shrugged. We didn't know each other's families back then, but I remember Clownfish's parents being kind of eccentric. Clownfish hated going home. And yeah, she was a weird kid kept to herself, never joined in during nap time, playtime, or even group baths. She'd just sit alone. Oh, and she had a thing for bugs. Used to bring all kinds of creepy crawlies to school. Once, she put a rat in Kira's backpack. Kira blinked. A rat? Yep. Kira nearly fainted. You know how soft she is, totally the type to freak out over stuff like that. Kira mulled over the tidbit. This wasn't just a mischievous child, Clownfish's behavior had always been unorthodox. And? Kira prompted. Aaron shook her head. That's about all I remember. It's not like my memory is flawless, especially for stuff from when I was 3. Even with the South family's knack for remembering things, no one's perfect. Kira leaned back, deep in thought. It made sense. People tended to vividly recall their own painful experiences while easily forgetting others. And at that age, details blurred into oblivion. Still, Clownfish's personality sounded insufferable. Do you think she'll join me? Kira asked, voice heavy with doubt. Not a chance. Aaron was firm. Clownfish is too proud, too self-reliant. They'd never bow to anyone. Kira pressed her lips together, considering her next move. How long until the South family opens its gates again? 20 days, Aaron replied. Kira nodded, a spark of impatience igniting within her. She didn't care about becoming the South family's heir, but rescuing her mother required her to dig deeper into the mystery surrounding the family. And, if she were honest, she couldn't deny a growing curiosity. What was the South family's true nature? Were the so-called prophecies legitimate? Was this a case of bizarre mysticism, or something far more tangible? After all, ghosts and gods couldn't possibly exist. Right? 823 Chapter 822. Kira hesitated, her thoughts swirling. The deeper she delved into her scientific research, the more she found herself thinking, at the edge of science lies the unexplained, perhaps even the mystical. After all, if neutrinos exist, then why not a prophecy? Maybe the South family really did have this kind of ability. Resting her chin on her hand, Kira gazed at Aaron. After a moment, she asked abruptly, do all South family members have South in their names? Of course. Aaron replied cheerfully. Kira's eyes darkened slightly. Aaron tilted her head and asked, why? It's pretty common for us. Most of us include South in our names, since it's part of the family name. Even when I pretended to be from the Martin family, I still used the name Aaron South Martin. And Jenkins. She picked a new last name but still kept South in it. Kira nodded thoughtfully. Who else around us has South in their name? Aaron sighed dramatically. You can't just count everyone with South in their name. There are tons of people like that. Based on my records, out of all the people you've crossed paths with, there are 567 with South in their names. Over 100 of them work under you. Aaron glanced at her meaningfully and added, but if you're asking who the richest one is, that'd be Sean South Church. But Sean can't be Clownfish. He's a guy. And South family heirs are always women. Kira paused slightly at this, her expression unreadable. After a moment, she lowered her gaze and nodded at Aaron. I see. What do you see? Aaron asked. Nothing, Kira replied, smiling faintly. She stood abruptly and pulled out her phone, where she noticed a new message from Sean. Sean, can I come over for dinner at your place tomorrow? Kira, sure. It was soon the next day. As Kira was out shopping for groceries, she ran into Sean in the parking lot of her building. Sean's face lit up when he saw her. Miss Olson, what's for dinner tonight? Kira held up the bag of groceries in her hand and smiled. I just picked up a fish. Sean grinned. Fish? Perfect. I love fish. Thanks so much. No problem. While Kira busied herself in the kitchen, Sean waited in the living room, chatting with Aaron and Amy. After a while, one of Sean's assistants wandered into the kitchen, curious. Miss Olson, what kind of fish are we having tonight? Kira glanced at him and smiled suddenly. Clownfish. The assistant froze. Wait, isn't that poisonous? Can we even eat that? I'm kidding, Kira said lightly, her tone casual. Go. Wait outside. Oh, right, sure. The assistant quickly left. Not long after, Kira served up the meal, a spread of three dishes and a soup, paired with some warm bread. Sean dug in enthusiastically, especially enjoying the fish. It was nearly gone by the time he spoke up. Miss Olson, this fish is amazing. I haven't had your cooking in ages. His assistant nodded eagerly. It's true. Mr. Church usually avoids fish because of the smell, but ever since he met you, he's become a fish lover. Kira smiled warmly at Sean, then asked out of nowhere, So, clownfish, how does it taste? The room fell silent. All eyes turned to Sean. Jenkins and Aaron exchanged wide-eyed glances, their disbelief clear. Neither said a word, but their expressions spoke volumes. You've got to be kidding. Sean blinked, startled. Wait, what? Is this clownfish? Kira laughed. Of course not. Clownfish are poisonous, I'd never serve that. Sean, are you sure you're really a man? Sean flushed at her sudden question. His face reddened as he lowered his head sheepishly. Absolutely, Miss Olson, want proof? As he spoke, he tugged at his collar, revealing his chest, a very male chest. Jenkins and Aaron breathed sighs of relief, relaxing visibly. Their initial reaction had been panic. Could Sean really be clownfish? Could she have been pretending to be a man all this time to get close to them? But no, it didn't make sense. Sean had an Adam's apple. His physique, while modestly dressed, was distinctly masculine. And more importantly, he wore pants, and they could see the bulge. That kind of detail wasn't something you could fake. There was just no way he could be clownfish. But before they could fully relax, Kira spoke again, her tone light but cutting. You're right. You're not a woman pretending to be a man. You were a boy pretending to be a girl when you were little, weren't you, clownfish? Both Jenkins and Aaron froze, their eyes snapping back to Sean in disbelief. Kira continued calmly, I looked it up. Clownfish are hermaphrodites. My accidental husband is a billionaire. 824 Chapter 823. Kira fell silent when she heard this. Aaron and Jenkins exchanged a glance, then turned their heads toward Sean. With a shared look of curiosity. Androgynous. Did that mean? While they were thinking this, Sean's cold voice came through, What are you staring at? Keep it up and I'll gouge your eyes out. The two immediately felt a chill down their spines and quickly looked away. That sense of pressure, one they'd known since childhood, clamped down on them, making them uneasy. When Clownfish said he'd gouge their eyes out, It might have been a threat. From someone else, but from him? It was the real deal. When they were in kindergarten, someone had offended her, and she'd threatened, "I'll knock all your teeth out." And that person really had lost all their teeth. While the other two had turned away, Kira didn't flinch. She kept her gaze fixed on Clownfish's direction. Surprisingly, Sean didn't snap at her but only sneered. "Aren't you afraid I'll gouge your eyes out, Miss Olson?" Kira remained calm. "If you gouge my eyes out, you won't have anyone to cook for you." Sean paused for a moment. He didn't fear death, he was even willing to go down with anyone if needed. But he couldn't stand the feeling of hunger. The sensation of not being able to eat was unbearable, and he didn't want to go through that again. He inhaled deeply. "You should be thankful you can cook. Otherwise, I wouldn't tolerate you for a second." His personality was so twisted, stubborn, and completely different from that warm, noble young master he seemed to be. Kira locked eyes with him. "So, are you really androgynous? Don't be ridiculous." Sean snapped. "How could I possibly be androgynous? I'm just..." At that point, he suddenly took a deep breath, and his tone softened. "Let me explain, Miss Olson." Then, just as suddenly, his voice turned sinister. "Fine, you explain." Sean softened again and looked at Kira with a smooth smile. "Miss Olson. My apologies. That was my sister." Kira was perplexed. Jenkins and Aaron were both intrigued. Their ears perked up, and Aaron even instinctively pulled out a pistachio, ready to snack. But in the next moment, Sean shot them a cold glare, and Aaron quickly put the pistachio away, too frightened to eat. She didn't want her eyes gouged out, oh no. Kira studied him, and after a long pause, she finally realized something. "Is it dissociative identity disorder?" Sean gave a bitter laugh. "Yes." He lowered his gaze. "In my family, the heir has to be a girl. So, since I was a kid, my mother told me I was a girl. That caused some confusion about my gender identity, and I really thought I was a girl. As I grew older, a secondary personality formed. That's my sister." At this point, Sean paused, a bitter smile playing on his lips. "Actually, since childhood, she's been the dominant personality. I've always been the secondary one." He let out another bitter chuckle. "I'm the normal one, and I only came out after I left the South family. My sister has always been in control of this body." Kira asked, "So why are you in control of the body now?" "Because of hunger." Sean let out a wry smile. "The feeling of hunger is just unbearable. My sister didn't want to experience that, so she let me take control. Over the years, I've been searching all over the world for someone who could feed me. It's true that you saved my life. If it weren't for you back in Oceanian, I would have starved to death." Kira looked at him. "So, you were that powerful in Country A, too?" "Yeah, I paid so many taxes to Monbatan, how could he not treat me like a VIP? Sean smiled slyly at Jenkins. "Some people just can't get the king's favor." Jenkins was speechless. Thinking back to the tough years and how one little joke from Clownfish made her afraid to return home, her fists clenched. But then, oh no, she was too scared to even look at her eyes gouged out. Ugh. She glanced at Aaron. Aaron was just as anxious, feeling a deep, unrelenting itch to know what Clownfish really looked like, and, of course, how could she not want to enjoy some pistachios while they were at it? Kira continued, So, are you willing to cooperate with me? Sean chuckled. What other choice do I have? You're my bread and butter. My ATM. Kira didn't know what to say. Sean paused. Actually, it's not just about getting our support. You also need the support of the kings of all the nations. If Country A backs you, you'll have the strength to rival that guy from M Country. Kira frowned. My father already handled the negotiations. That's just a business deal, Sean said with a grin. Monbatan's biggest issue is his heirs. If you could have a child connected to him, that's when you'd truly be bound together. 825 Chapter 824. Kira couldn't help but laugh. His condition is incurable. How could his offspring possibly be connected to me? Sean spoke up. I overheard him say once that he met a woman in Clans. Years ago. There's a chance he left a child behind. Sean chuckled. I suspect that Monbatan's ongoing issues with having heirs may be tied to that woman. Kira blinked in confusion. What makes you think that? Aaron's ears perked up. This was juicy gossip. She had to hear this. Jenkins and Aaron exchanged a quick glance before both of them subtly shuffled closer, inching towards Sean and Kira, eager to eavesdrop. But then Sean's cold voice cut through the air. Do you two need to press your ears to my mouth? Aaron immediately looked up at him, a cheeky smile playing on her lips. Can we? Sean's gaze turned icy. Sure, if you want to keep your ears. Aaron froze. This guy hadn't changed a bit since childhood. She glared at him, but he merely pointed toward the door. What I'm about to say isn't for your ears. You can leave now. Without hesitation, Aaron shot back, what could possibly be so bad that I can't hear it? She shot Kira a pleading look, trying to win her sympathy. Kira remained calm, responding flatly, I trust them. Sean let out a derisive laugh. You know, women's words are the least trustworthy. I don't even trust my sister. Why would I trust either of them? Aaron and Jenkins shot him a glare, their cheeks puffed up with indignation. Sean barely glanced at them, and they both quickly averted their eyes. Standing up straighter, Aaron cleared her throat. Actually, I just realized I'm kind of hungry. I think I'll go grab a bite in the kitchen. Not because I'm scared of you, though. Jenkins coughed lightly. I'll come with you. The two made a quick exit to the kitchen. Kira sighed, watching them go. This guy really had a way of making people cower. She had never seen Aaron so flustered, and as for Jenkins, well, she was used to her acting weak whenever it suited her. Kira turned her attention back to Sean. What exactly are you trying to say? Sean gave a casual shrug. I'm just saying, if years ago, when Monbatan was still young and didn't want kids, a woman spent the night with him and ended up pregnant, what do you think she'd do if she wanted her child to inherit the throne of Country A? Kira's eyes widened. She'd make sure Monbatan could never have children. Again. Sean raised his eyebrows and shrugged. Exactly. Kira frowned. But it's not like any woman can guarantee a pregnancy on the first try. NOV.LB/JNN. Sean scoffed. Are you really that naive, or did you just not think about it? Kira paused, slightly taken aback. Sean leaned in, lowering his voice. As long as the sperm's healthy, even if she didn't get pregnant the first time, she could freeze it and try again. Either way, Monbatan's sperm back then would be very different from what he has now. Kira's frown deepened. Why would someone go to all that trouble? Sean raised a brow. Well, That's something you'd have to ask the woman herself. I'm just throwing out a theory here. Kira took a deep breath. Sean continued. So, all you'd need to do is find that woman, take her child. And tell Monbatan that the child is either yours or belongs to someone close to you. Then, this whole thing would be wrapped up. Kira stared at him in disbelief. Steal someone else's child? She was almost speechless. The audacity of this man, he could suggest something like that so nonchalantly. But at the same time, her mind suddenly froze. You said Monbatan met this woman in Clance? Sean nodded. Kira's heart skipped a beat. A suspicion was starting to form in her mind. She suddenly remembered that when she was trying to gain the Martin family's support, she had discovered that her maternal grandmother was the first love of old Mr. Martin. Her mother, Jody South, was Mr. Martin's daughter. That connection had naturally tied her to the Martin family. Then, when she needed the Olsen family's backing, she found out that her mother, Jody, had been in a relationship with Uncle Olsen. Despite her success in aligning with Clance's five major families, it was clear that her connection to the Olsen name had given her leverage. And now, she needed to build a relationship with Monbatan, a man with hundreds of women in his harem, but no heirs. What if Monbatan only had one heir? Kira's eyes shot toward the second floor, where Amy was playing, a thought beginning to form in her mind. 826 Chapter 825. Kira stared at Amy in disbelief. Amy had been glued to the TV, pointing at Monbatan and calling him Dad. Over and over. For such a timid, shy child, she had somehow summoned the courage to insist on accompanying them to meet him. These peculiarities. Could it be? Kira tightened her jaw, her mind racing to shut out a thought she was too afraid to entertain. Her eyes flicked to Louis. Her memory wandered back to the inexplicable day they'd gotten married, an arrangement orchestrated by her sister. At the time, her sister had claimed it was to protect her. But looking at it now, was it really protection? Or had her sister known all along about Louis's connections overseas and orchestrated the union to secure a political alliance? From her grandmother to her mother, down to Kira, and perhaps even herself, was this all part of some grand, invisible game for control of the South family? Were they all pawns, moved across the chessboard without realizing it? Kira's heart thudded wildly in her chest. For a brief moment, it felt as though her entire life had been tangled in conspiracies, a web tightening around her, leaving no escape. She drew in a shaky breath. What's on your mind? Sean Church's calm voice broke her reverie. Kira lowered her eyes. Nothing. Just wondering if I somehow forged an unbreakable bond with Monbatan, would you really side with me? Sean let out a bitter laugh. Do you know what it's like to be starving? Kira blinked, caught off guard. Sean continued, his voice soft but heavy. When you're truly starving, to the point where the thought of food makes you sick, it's worse than dying. My sister gave up control of this body because the hunger, the pain, it was unbearable for her. He chuckled darkly. You saved my life when you helped me eat again. Without you, I'd probably be dead by now. Kira listened, her eyes drifting toward his stomach. For someone who had just eaten, it no longer seemed flat and hollow, but his frail frame, the almost skeletal appearance of his hands, and even his once gorgeous face, now gaunt, told the story of someone teetering on the edge. She nodded slowly. She could relate. She had often gone hungry as a child in the Olsen household. Back then, when Jody South gave her a single biscuit, it had felt like salvation, a moment she would never forget. Seeing her understanding, Sean pressed on. So, even if things with Monbatan don't work out, I'll still back you. But I think you've overlooked one very basic issue.
What issue?
Sean smirked. More and more people know you're not Kira. You don't have her memories or her account with the South family. Competing to become their heir in your condition is dangerous.
Sean laughed. You realize that each of us has a unique account, right?
Like an ID. You need a password to access it, and only the real owner can verify it. That's why no one would ever share their password, it's their lifeline.
Some people even go as far as changing their appearance after leaving the South family, but their account always remains their true identity.
Kira's brows furrowed deeper. I've already searched every corner of the South family estate. My sister didn't leave anything behind. That account and password are impossible to recover.
Who said that?
Sean countered.
Kira froze.
Sean leaned in slightly. Your sister might not have shared her account details, but her mother would know. And she's still in the South family.
You mean Kira's adoptive mother?
Kira asked cautiously.
Exactly, Sean replied.
A 3-year-old wouldn't know their own password. It's always held by the parents.
Realization dawned on Kira's face.
So you're saying, in 20 days, the South family estate will open its gates for a short visit. That'll be your chance to find the password.
Kira clenched her jaw.
20 days. She had already planned to use that opportunity to rescue Jody South from the estate.
Sean seemed to read her thoughts and gave her a wry smile.
Actually, Jody's safest where she is now. She won't be harmed inside the South estate, but outside, things could get dangerous.
Until you've secured your position as the next heir, I'd advise you to leave her there.
Kira lowered her head.
I'll think about it.
Good. Now let's figure out the real challenge, Sean said, leaning back.
How do we get Monbatan to acknowledge Amy?
Kira looked up at him, her lips curving into a sly smile.
We can't just hand Amy over to him. That would make us look desperate, like we're scheming for something.
No, I'll make sure Amy appears before Monbatan, as prey he can't resist.
My accidental husband is a billionaire.
Chapter 827. 827 Chapter 826. The Olson estate was bustling with activity as the staff worked tirelessly to prepare for the big day. Every corner of the house was being scrubbed to perfection.
Monbatan, the king, was expected to visit today, and the atmosphere was charged with anticipation.
The Cobb family had even sent their own people over to ensure there would be no missteps. Any mishap could lead to a diplomatic disaster. In the midst of this whirlwind, Kira finally descended the grand staircase. Holding Amy's tiny hand, she handed Amy an iPad, the screen already playing old videos of Kira and a much younger Amy together.
Amy's face lit up with excitement.
Mom, when Dad gets here, I'm gonna show him this.
Kira smiled faintly.
Good idea. She had heard Sean mention it before Monbatan once confessed that he remembered a pair of eyes filled with a warmth and resolve he had never seen before.
Kira's gaze lowered briefly.
She and her twin sister, Kira, may have looked alike, but their eyes betrayed their differences. No matter how well Kira could mimic Kira's timid demeanor, the quiet strength in her sister's gaze was something she could never replicate. That's why those who knew Kira well, like Mary, could tell Kira wasn't her. But since returning to the Olson family, Kira had stopped pretending altogether. Even if old acquaintances sensed something was different, they chalked it up
To Kira's newfound confidence after reclaiming her heritage, Kira gently patted Amy's head. Go sit on the couch and wait for him, okay? Amy obediently carried her iPad to the couch, where she sat quietly, her eyes glued to the front door, eagerly awaiting Monbatten's arrival. Just then, Aaron and Jenkins sauntered in. What's your game today? Kira glanced at her, nonchalant. What do you mean? Jenkins jumped in. You've been indifferent to Monbatten this whole time, but now you're suddenly rolling out the red carpet for him. What's the deal? Kira's tone remained steady. Didn't you say I should get closer to him and win him over? Jenkins scoffed. Please. You. Winning someone over? Give me a break. Aaron, meanwhile, had grabbed a bowl of pistachios and was lazily cracking them open as she surveyed the room. After a moment, she wandered over to a quiet corner and settled in. What are you doing? Jenkins asked, frowning. Aaron smirked. This is the best seat in the house. I want a front row view of whatever drama's about to unfold. Jenkins rolled her eyes but eventually pulled over a chair to join Aaron. Both of them seemed more than a little curious about what Kira had planned. Soon enough, Monbatten arrived, and both Kira and Lewis Horton headed to the driveway to greet him. The king's demeanor was still formal, but there was a touch of respect now. Likely due to his recent partnership with Uncle Olsen. Gone was the unapproachable arrogance he had once carried. Where's Amy? Monbatten asked casually. Kira's response was measured. She's waiting for you in the living room. It's too cold for her to be running around outside. Don't want her catching a cold. From the temperature changes. Monbatten gave a small nod. You're very thoughtful when it comes to your daughter. Kira hesitated for just a beat before saying lightly, actually, Amy isn't my daughter. Monbatten froze. What? Kira smiled. She's my sister's child. My twin sister's. She decided to rip the band-aid off now, sparing herself from any misunderstandings later, like Monbatten and getting the absurd idea that, since she'd given him a child, they should get married and move back to his country. She had far too much on her plate for that. You have a twin? Monbatten asked, his voice tinged with curiosity. Yes, we look identical, but our eyes are different. Kira kept her tone conversational, glossing over the details as she led him into the living room. Amy, who had been waiting by the window, practically flew into Monbatten's arms the moment he walked through the door. Her face lit up with pure joy. Daddy! You're finally here! She exclaimed. Monbatten chuckled. Still calling me that, huh? You are my dad. Amy declared confidently. Mom said so. Monbatten froze, stunned. She said that? Yes. Amy pointed toward Kira. Kira shot Monbatten a quick, apologetic look. He immediately understood Amy was too young to grasp the difference between her mother and her aunt. He crouched down to Amy's level. And? What does your mom look like? Amy grinned. I have a video. Dad, I'll show you right now. My accidental husband is a billionaire. Chapter 828. 828 Chapter 827. Amy pulled out her tablet, excitedly handing it to Monbatten. The screen displayed videos and photos of her younger self with the real Kira. Monbatten froze as his gaze landed on the screen. Those eyes, gentle yet filled with determination, were so familiar they stopped him in his tracks. They belonged to the woman he'd spent that unforgettable night with back in Krira. In disbelief, he turned to Amy, scanning her features more carefully. For the first time, he noticed she shared a faint resemblance to his mother. The realization hit him like a lightning bolt. Whipping around to face one of his guards, he commanded urgently, "Get me a DNA test with Amy. Now." The guard nodded, plucking a strand of Amy's hair before dashing out the door. Monbatten let out a shaky breath and crouched down to lift Amy into his arms. Amy didn't squirm or protest. Instead, her tiny hand patted his shoulder. Reassuringly. "Daddy, you're so late. I've been waiting forever, but it's okay. Now that you're here." Her sweet words struck a chord deep in his chest. Monbatten's heart clenched. This child was far too mature for her age, and it made her all the more endearing. He ruffled her hair gently and carried her over to the couch, settling down with her. His eyes scanned the lavishly decorated living room before glancing at Kira. "Your home is beautiful," he said politely. Kira, seated across from him with Louis by her side, nodded with a small smile. "Thank you," Monbatten said. "I hope I didn't come to Kira in vain." He shifted his focus back to Amy, then to the woman on the screen. If Amy truly turned out to be his daughter, it would be life-changing. He'd finally have an heir. Still, he couldn't let himself hope too much, not yet. Over the years, countless women had shown up in Country A, each claiming their child was his. Monbatten was a player. In the process of searching for his child, he had spent time with many women. Each time, his hopes had risen, only to be cruelly dashed. Even those kids that resembled him turned out to be strangers. He still couldn't have a child. Even his attempts at having children through IVF had ended in heartbreak, as every pregnancy failed early on. When it happened often enough, it proved that the problem came from him, not those women. His longing for a child had grown into an obsession. Now, he forced himself to take a steadying breath and looked at Kira. "If Amy is, well, I'd love for you all to visit Country A anytime." Kira chuckled lightly. "Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Your Majesty. The results aren't in yet. We'll see soon enough." She wasn't sure, either. Her response was measured but fair, and Monbatten gave her a small nod. Appreciating her pragmatic approach, the room fell into a tense silence as everyone waited for the guard's return. Monbatten's eyes kept flicking toward the door. Across the room, Jenkins leaned closer to Aaron, whispering, "What's going on over there?" Aaron shrugged, her brow furrowed. "No clue," Jenkins said. "They're definitely waiting for something." "I can't be a kid," Aaron said. Both women then glanced suspiciously at Amy. The two exchanged wide-eyed looks, their minds racing. But before they could voice their thoughts, the guard reappeared, clutching an envelope in his trembling hands. The tension in the room skyrocketed. Monbatten shot to his feet, his gaze locked on the guard. "Well? What does it say?" The guard took a shaky breath, holding out the envelope. "The results are inside, Your Majesty." "I haven't opened it." He handed the envelope to the king. Monbatten's hands were unsteady as he accepted the envelope. Slowly, he pulled out the piece of paper inside. The entire room held its collective breath as he read the words aloud. The note read, "Father and daughter match.